Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
I believe we could all agree, church, that distraction is probably one of the most vital things that the enemy often does to pull you away from the things that the Lord has from you. Amen? If it's not, you know, some kind of sickness, if it's not worry, if it's not, you know, frustration with problems or issues that will arise in your life, it is distraction that the enemy will try to do to stop you from fulfilling the purpose of God in your life. Amen? And so the number one thing that you need to maintain in this walk with God is to stay focused. To stay focused on the Lord. We've all had moments of distraction. And the enemy is so keen, he wants us to become so aware of the problems in our life. He wants us to become so aware of the thing that seems impossible to climb over or the thing that seems so difficult to achieve. He wants us to become more aware of those things or even our own aspirations, even your own goals, that you actually lose the awareness of God in your life. While I am grateful for education and we are here to just celebrate their achievements and their studies, even education itself can become a distraction. And so we must never lose sight of the fact that the Lord must be Lord of all and above all every single day. Can the church say amen? And the truth is in pursuit of things in life, there are times where we can become self-absorbed. There are times where we can become, so internalized in what we're trying to achieve that we lose our dependence on the Lord. We lose our dependence on God for our everyday provision and direction. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, this is the Message version. Romans 8 and 5, it says, those who think they can do it on their own, they can end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but they'll never get around to exercising it in real life. It goes on to say, those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, the living and breathing God. It says, but obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. But attention to God leads us out into the open, into the spacious, free life. It says, focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. It says, anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God and ends up thinking more about self than God. There's this saying that says this, that you can be so earthly minded that you end up being no good for the kingdom. You see, church, sometimes we can get so earthly minded, we can get so focused on our job, so focused on the businesses that we have, so focused on relationships, that we become so absorbed with these things that we end up being not useful for the kingdom of God. But likewise, you can be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. That is, you can just have your eyes looking at Jesus and your eyes focused on the Lord, and you can be in the Word every single day, but if you don't show the love of Christ to somebody, what good is it? Amen? And so the Lord is wanting us to just stay focused on Him, and I believe this verse teaches us to be God-focused, to ask God to lead us into what His future plan is for our life every single day. It is to stay on track with God's perfect will for our life and not to be consumed by what we want to achieve in life. Again, goals and aspirations are excellent things to have. We all have them, but they can never be bigger than God in our life. Amen? It was Henry Ford that said these words. He said, obstacles are those frightful things that you see when you take your eyes off of the goal. The ultimate goal is Jesus. Amen? The ultimate prize is receiving the Lord. Amen? And so it should be to know Christ. Paul said it this way. It was to know Christ and to make Him known. That was Paul's goal for life. It was ultimately to know Jesus and to make Him known. In Philippians chapter 3, it says, Paul saying this, that his previous goals, they were nothing in comparison to knowing Christ. He said, whatever was gained to me, I now consider it loss for the sake of Christ. Whatever Paul had aspired to do in this world, whether it was be a great theologian, whether it was being, a great Pharisee, because that's what he had done before, Paul was incredibly studied in the Word. In fact, he was more studied than most men of his day. But for Paul, he goes on to say this. He says, whatever was gained to me, I now consider it lost for the sake of Christ. He says, because what is more is I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. He said, that's it. That is the pinnacle. I have arrived if I know Jesus Christ as my Lord, whose for sake, it says, for whose sake I have lost all things. He said, I even consider them rubbish, garbage, that I may gain Christ. As believers in Christ, I believe that we've all stayed on God's path up until this point in our life. We must keep on doing so. Amen. We must keep on fulfilling what God has for us. And we must continue serving God. But when obstacles arise, just lift your eyes that much higher to a mighty God. Amen. When challenges come your way, when challenges come towards you, when the enemy is trying to distract you with something, just focus your eyes upon Jesus. Hebrews 12 and 2 says this, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. It says, who for the joy, it was a joyous thing. It says, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He scorned its shame and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. I believe the second way that we will continue on in our pursuit of Jesus and in our pursuit of pleasing God, it comes through humility. When you grow in the Lord, and when I grow in the Lord, like I mentioned earlier, when we grow in the Lord, our knowledge often increases independency and pride in our life. The more somebody knows, the more they get prideful. The more somebody knows, the less they feel like they need to depend on somebody else. And so for students in all age levels, I believe this quote is applicable. Higher levels sometimes mean higher devils. That as you continue to pursue God, that the temptation from the enemy, the attack from the enemy will get even stronger. And so if it's going from graduate school to the workplace, then there will be trials. There will be temptations. But here's the main thing. The main thing is to never lose sight of your dependency and your need for God. I see people all too often when things are going tough, they're in church. They're at the altar. They're bowing their knees before God. They're crying out to God in prayer. But all of a sudden when things get good, the prayer ceases. The worship stops. The pursuit and the hunger of God begins to mellow out. And so in all of this, as you elevate in maturity and position and age, Christ must never be secondary to your achievements. Amen? We must remain humble in the Lord for all of our future. Amen? And like I said, children naturally get more independent with age, but it does not change the fact that they still have parents. Amen? It doesn't change the fact. And likewise for believers, as you move on to bigger and better things, it does not change the fact that you are a child of God with a heavenly Father in your life. That means that until the day that we see Him face to face, He is able to speak into your heart. He is able to minister to your life. He is able to discipline you when you need discipline. He's able to correct you when you need correction. But He'll always be there like a perfect Father. Amen? He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. As Christ Himself matured, He still displayed His need for the Father. The Bible says that He did not say anything unless the Father wooed Him to say it. He did not do anything unless the Father had told Him to say it. And so He still followed His Father's orders and He still displayed His glory and He still took time to pray. There's no level of education, there's no maturity, and there's no age that will ever make it so that we don't have to pray. It will never make it so you don't have to read the Word. It will never become a thing that is, oh, I've gotten to this age and now I don't have to do this. No, we must stay connected to Christ. Amen? F.B. Meyer said, the only hope of a decreasing self is an increasing Christ. It was John the Baptist that said that he must become greater and I must become less. And so the goal for you and I as we mature in the Lord is so that He becomes greater and we become less. Amen? That over a period of time, it isn't just, well, I got saved at this point, and now I never read my Bible. or I got saved at this age and now I don't attend church anymore because I'm saved. No, we must continue to humble ourselves before God. Matthew 5 and 6 is such a powerful verse. It says, but blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. How many of you are hungry for the Lord? You're hungry for a move of God, amen? You want to know how to stay hungry in the Lord? Just keep eating. You just keep feeding on the presence of God. You just keep feeding on the Word of God. You just keep spending time in His presence. And guess what? That hunger grows and grows and grows and grows. But there will never not be a time in your life until Jesus takes you home to be with Him that you will not need to be hungry for the Lord. You must stay hungry for the Lord. And the Word is sure, and it is a promise, and it is a guarantee. You will be filled. Amen? You will be filled. Isaiah 33 and verse 5 says this. It says, the Lord is exalted and He dwells on high. And He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness. And He will be the sure foundation for your times. A rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. And it says, and the fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. You see, the humble stay hungry and the hungry will be filled. The humble stay hungry and the hungry will be filled. The world's way would want us to give up on faith. If the world had its way with you and I, none of us would be here today. If the enemy had his way with you and I, none of us would be existing in this place. Because a long time ago, he would have done what he would have done in your life and you wouldn't be standing here today. You wouldn't be able to have breath in your lungs to worship God as your creator. You wouldn't be able to have ears to hear the word of God and let it speak to your heart. And so if the world had its way with us, if the world or even the education system of the world would have had its way with you, you wouldn't be standing here today. Because we all know that there's things in the educational system that we don't all agree with. Amen? That's just the truth. That's just the times and the season that we are living in. But we can thank God this morning. We can thank God that He is a miracle-working God. He is a God that provides. He is a God that sustains. He is a God that has become our very hope. He is a God that has filled your life with so many things. And guess what? As we continue to live for Him, He will continue to bless us with many, many more things. Amen? Amen. He is faithful. Amen? Amen? The Word of God tells us in Psalms 25 and verse 9, it says, He guides the humble in what is right, and He teaches them His way. It says, all the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of His covenant. Amen? So we must never lose sight of being humble in our relationship with Christ. There's not a career, a degree, or a school that can take that element of faith away from you and I. No matter what we achieve in this world, we must still continue to trust God in faith. Luke 6 and 47, he says this, I will show you what He is like who comes to Me and who hears My words and who puts them into practice. He is like a man that is building a house who dug down deep and he laid the foundation on the rock. And it says, and when the floods came and when the torrent struck that house, it could not shake it because it was well built. Our foundation must always be seated on Christ. The unshakable are those who have placed their life in the life of Jesus. The unshakable are those who have adopted the work of Christ in their life and have received Him into their heart. These are the ones the Bible says that are more than overcomers. These are the ones that the Bible says are the ones that will overcome anything that the enemy brings their way because they trust in Jesus. When you hear the word of God, when you listen to what the Lord is telling you, and you build your life upon this, my friend, there is nothing that the world can do to shake you off of. Nothing. Jesus is our firm foundation. Amen. We need more Christians in school now more than ever. Amen. The church should say amen to that. Are you falling asleep back there? I will wake you up right now. I said I'm talking to all y'all. This is for everybody. The word's for everybody. It's never exclusive, it's always inclusive. I said, we need more believers in school now more than ever. Now more than ever. Because the Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard against him. How many of you know that when you have Christ living inside of your heart, you have become the very standard that the enemy is trying to destroy? You actually become a weapon in the hands of a mighty God. That when you release the word of God from your mouth, when you pray over the circumstance, when you worship in the midst of persecution, it is that very faith that the Lord attaches himself to, and he removes the shackles. Amen? And he sets free those who are bound. And he shifts things, and he makes things, like the Bible says, that as they are in heaven, he releases that to the earth. And so this is the power of a praying person. This is the power of a young person that believes in Jesus. That when everyone in your class doesn't want to believe, you stand firm and you believe. I'll never forget when I was a young man, and I'm still kind of young, I guess. But I was about 19 years old, and I was attending STC. It was STCC at the time. But I was attending STC, and I was taking some classes, and one of my classes was, it was a philosophy class, I believe. And I don't know, I didn't pay attention, but whatever. That was in this class, and I'll never forget the first day of class, the professor asked if anyone was a Christian. And I'm thinking, like, well, what does this have to do with class, you know? And so several people raised their hands. I was one of them. I raised my hand, and there was another couple young men that raised their hands. And every single day, every day, he didn't miss a day. Every single day that I attended this class, he would try to disprove God. I don't think I learned anything in the class. I'm not even joking. Every single day, he would challenge every single believer in the class. And I'll never forget, you know, me and the other few believers. Well, I think there was more hands raised the first day, and then the next times that he would challenge us, there was less hands raised. But I'll never forget this one conversation that we had, and as I was ministering the word and I was sharing the word, I remember the Holy Spirit spoke something to me, because he said he grew up in the Catholic Church. You know, he grew up in the Catholic Church. And I just remember the Holy Spirit speaking to me. I said, listen, something happened in your life that caused you to believe this way. I said, and it's not the non-existence of God as you believe. I said, no, something happened in your life that gave you the impression that God wasn't there. I said, but my friend, God is real. And the other gentleman that was in the class with me, he had just finished a tour in Afghanistan. And he was sitting next to me. He said, sir, he said, with all due respect, I've heard everything that you have to say, all the negative stuff that he was trying to disprove God. He said, but sir, every single day when we would go out on a mission, he said, I would see all the young men and young ladies that were in our troop. He said, they would all pray. And he goes, and not all of them were believers. He goes, but they would all pray. They would all ask God to protect them. He said, and sir, dare I say that you too would call upon this God if you had your head stuck in a foxhole and there were bombs going off all around you. And I remember the professor didn't have much else to say after that. I think he left us alone a little bit. My point is this, is we need young people just like yourselves to not be ashamed of the gospel, to shine the light of Jesus as bright as you can and as you know how. And when the world wants to shame, when the world wants to disgrace, when the world wants to put you down or make you feel a certain way, you must continue to shine all the brighter. Amen? Must continue to speak Jesus that much louder. You must continue to tell them about his love that much more. Amen? We need Jesus in our schools. Amen? And finally this morning, stay heaven-minded. Something that the Bible teaches us is to always be heaven-minded. That means that through prayer, every decision on this earth will keep us in pursuit of graduating from this earth to an eternal life in heaven. Amen? Don't let the enemy, the devil lie to you and say that you're going to, going from grade to grade and all these things. And, sometimes the enemy wants us to think that, oh, yeah, you're past this certain level. Now you can live and you can have fun. Or once you move out of the house, you can live life like how you want to. No, we must always continue to live for Christ. Charles Kettering said this. He says, we should all be concerned about the future. He says, because we will have to spend the rest of our life there. As the church, as the body of Christ, we should all be concerned about the future. Amen? We should all be concerned about tomorrow. Jesus said not to worry about it, but we should always be thinking ahead, and we should be seeing the trajectory of our nation, the trajectory of our schools, the trajectory of our families as we lead them, and have that mindfulness enough to pray. The mindfulness enough to invite the Lord to say, Lord, meet me there tomorrow. Because God, I don't want to be in a future that doesn't have you included with it. Amen? I don't want to go another day, Jesus, if you are not there present with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 4 says, we have been given a glimpse of the real thing, our true home, our resurrection bodies. This is the Spirit of God. It whets our appetite by giving us a taste of what is ahead. And he puts a little of heaven in our hearts so that we will never, never settle for less. You see, I believe it's so important that when you experience God here, and how many of you have experienced the Lord here? Amen. You just felt the presence of God in your life. When you experience the presence of God in the church house, when you experience the presence of God in your home, at a prayer meeting, wherever it is that God encounters you, that gives you the very ingredient, and it whets our appetite in such a way, church, that we can say, oh man, one day it's always going to be like that. One day that thing that I'm experiencing is never going to end. One day that very hope that I have in my life when the presence of God has just wrapped himself around me is the very thing that will hold me for eternity. That, my friends, is the thing that I want for all of eternity. And that only comes by you and I keeping our mind focused on heaven, by knowing that we can never lose sight of Jesus. We can never take a day off. Beverly Seale said this, there are no shortcuts to any place worth going. You see, there is no shortcut to get to heaven. There's not many ways. There's one way. And his name is Jesus. Amen? There is one way, one truth, and one life. I want us to fully understand this today, that God so much desires for our life to be blessed, to succeed. The Lord had said himself, he says, I have come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. The Lord wants your life to be abundant. He wants your life to be fruitful. He wants your life to be blessed. But it only happens if we remain in him. Amen? I believe that from this time until Jesus comes, or he takes us to be with him forever, we must never lose sight that God has called us to fulfill his plan in this world day by day. He has called you to witness. He's called you to serve others. He's called you to bless on somebody. He's called you to pray for others. And we must never lose sight of why we are planted here in the first place. But my hope is that one day our eternal destination will be a place without pain. My hope is that one day our eternal destination will be a place without strife and backbiting and division. My hope is that one day we will be there with the angels and we will be singing that angelic song to the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Forever, church. Forever. These bodies will break down. They'll get old. They'll get weak. But the Bible says that when we step into the presence of heaven, we are renewed. We're made whole in the presence of God. No more weakness. No more failure. No more imperfection. And so this is the hope that we have this morning. It will one day be ours, church, if we do not give up. 2 Corinthians 4 and 16 says this as I close. It says, therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, it says inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And verse 17 says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. It says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, that is heaven, that is Jesus. It says, for what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. As I ask you to stand to your feet this morning, church, I want us to keep in mind everything of the things of heaven, the things of God, the kingdom of God, in your mind and in your heart every single day. Jeremy, would you come? Every single day, because listen, the truth is that no one else can live out the future of your faith but you. No one else can fulfill the call of God that He has placed on your life except for you. Not a parent, not a sibling, not anyone else that you admire. It's only our relationship with Jesus. And so this morning, as I ask every head to be bowed in this room, I want to just take this time. I don't know if everyone in here that has been listening to the sound of my voice has understood that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And the Bible says that this eternal resting place called heaven can only be ours unless He is Lord of our life. And what does it look like to have Jesus Christ as our Lord? That means that we surrender our will. We surrender our desires. We surrender our way to take upon the cross that Jesus died upon, and that we would walk in His ways for eternity.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.